Let us come before our Heavenly Father in a prayer that confesses our individual and corporate pride, a confession of who we are. Father in heaven,
forgive us for being prideful people.
So often we think we are righteous by our own actions. Rather than receiving righteousness through the blood of Christ, we do not like to admit that we are weak, and instead we look at the failings of others. We often think that we are better than others, and we expect them to be perfect for us. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for having an arrogant attitude toward our neighbors in the body of Christ, toward our neighbors who don't yet know you, and toward those we don't know but stereotype. We fail to see our neighbors as people made in your image. Forgive us, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, in our quest for perfection, we fail to use the gifts you have given to us. We are afraid that others will see us as less than perfect, forgetting that only you are perfect. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for our pride. Help us to see ourselves and our neighbor through your eyes, the eyes that looked at the world from the perspective of the cross.
Forgive us, Lord.
Amen. The light of Christ dims whenever we have been lazy and fail to reach out in his name to people in need. It dims when we have pridefully put our own needs before those of others. Extinguish the two lights. An assurance of whose we are. Friends, in telling God that we are who we are seeking to remain faithful to Christ and return to the righteousness of Abraham. God deems as righteous all who do trust that Jesus has been raised from the dead for our salvation. Therefore, in his name, we are forgiven. Amen.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you, Mindy. Thank you, Kathy. That is even better to hear, to be heard here in this space than down the hall from my office.
Will you all please pray with me? O God, O Almighty God, Father of all life, we are groping in the darkness, O Lord. We are stumbling in a lonesome valley. We ask that you light our path, illumine our hearts with your word. Help us to see your vision and to respond with thanksgiving. Amen. So, we're going back to the Old Testament. We're going back to the beginning. Chapter 17, beginning at verse 1 and continuing here and there through verse 22. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God." God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep your covenant, my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations." And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And God said, "My covenant I will establish with your son Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this season next year." And when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. So Scripture tells us that Abram was 99 years old and Sarai was 90. Both were non-Agerians. Non-Agerians, big word. And here, God was giving them new names and promising them new babies. Seriously? Yeah, we could look at this writing through the lens of literary scholarship and say that the author chose those numbers, 90 and 99, to let his audience know that both people were very old, whether or not they really were 90 and 99. But the point remains, these two were not spring chickens. And yet, God is reinventing them, giving them new tasks to fulfill, and changing their names. Now, they're not alone. When you read the ancient Hebrew text, you see that God has changed his name also. God is no longer just God. In verse 1, God becomes God Almighty, or El Shaddai, which means God of the mountains. It's a good reminder that this God is the God of all creation. And since creation began, who knows how long before this point in time, El Shaddai may also be very, very, very old. Now, this story is actually continuing and developing the covenant that God first discussed with Abram in chapter 15. And that's where God promises that Abram's children will be as numerous as the stars in the night sky, and that God would give all the people the land between the river of Egypt and the river Euphrates. Big. God was making a promise to the man, and Abram did not have to promise anything in return to make it so. Now that is an important detail. You see, when God makes a covenant, the people are not required to do likewise. Covenant isn't alone. It isn't a contract in which two parties agree to a list of clauses. It's more like a grant. And many parents make covenants with their newborns. They promise the little ones to always love them. The parents know the baby cannot return the favor, and may never do so even once they're all grown up. You see, a covenant is a heartfelt action by one that expresses the deepening of relationship with another. A covenant is like the vows a groom makes to his bride, or like a pastor makes to her new congregation when she's installed to office. In truth, a covenant is one of the greatest blessings any of us can ever give to another. And that's what's happening here. Remember, in verse 1, God says, "Walk before me and be blameless." Now, blameless isn't about being perfect and doing no wrong. The word in Hebrew is more about acting in faith. God sees Abram as a person who is highly righteous and deeply faithful to his Creator. And like a parent supports a much-loved child, God wants to support this man. So here God expresses an ever-deepening commitment to Abram and makes promises that only the Creator God, El Shaddai, can keep. And this deepening of relationship isn't just to him. God lets Abram know God wants to be in relationship with humankind through Abram's and Sarai's children and their children and their children for generations to come. And to seal these promises, God changes Abram's name. Now, learning to respond when called by a new name is challenging. All the more so when you're used to hearing your original name for 80 or 90 years. But this change of names was not arbitrary on God's part. God was making a point. God wanted the world to know that the Creator was doing a new thing in this world and promising the creation of a new community and a new nation. God was naming them to new ways to serve and be faithful to God. So Abram went from simply being High Father, which was what Abram meant, to Father of Many, Abraham. And his wife's name originally meant Princess. But at God's decree, she became Princess of a Nation, Sarah. Which, by the way, she was to become within the year, or so El Shaddai said. New things, right? And while Abraham honored his Creator by bowing down when the names were given, he also roared in laughter. Sure, these two nonagenarians would become parents to a child of their own at this late time in their life. God was either being capricious or was dreaming, right? Yeah? No, God was not dreaming. God was very, very, very serious about this covenant that was being proclaimed, and God would make sure the promise was fulfilled. But why was God making this covenant with Abraham and Sarah? And what does all of this talk of promises and names have to do with us here at Trinity United Presbyterian Church in 2021? Well, let's take the second question first, my friends. 40 years ago, on January 25th, 1981, to be precise, the members of three Zanesville congregations joined together as one body, founded back as far as 1809 as were the roots of one of the three congregations, the Forest Hills, First, and Highlands churches had been dwindling in size and energy. Each had wondered what they were going to do. Would they survive as servant bodies to their Creator God? Each church knew they couldn't be Christ's body alone. So each listened to God's voice as spoken through one another and through the presbytery. The members prayed and worshiped on their own, and sometimes they worshiped together, occasionally. And over time, they came to realize that God was asking them to do a new thing. In case you don't know, by the way. One of the dirty words among small churches begins with an M. Merge. Mm-hmm. When the idea is posed, it often seems that everyone in each church wants to continue doing church as their congregation always has. And arguments, they explode everywhere. But the leaders of these three congregations truly listened for God. They remained open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And within a few years, the new congregation was born. Together and with God, they discerned a new name. It wasn't a name from the past, but it was a name that remembered days gone by while still looking to the future. Trinity United was a name like Abraham and Sarah. God reinvented these three bodies and called them to new service for their Creator. And as they came together, they made covenants to one another. God worked through the presbytery representatives who guided the process to help these three congregations make substantial commitments to one another. They made promises to work as one body, to support one another in times of joy or grief as one family. And they covenanted with God to remain in relationship with one another in the years ahead. Yeah, there's that word again, covenant. God covenanted with Abram because God wanted to share in relationship with this very faithful man. And the three congregations covenanted with each other to be in relationship with one another. Now, I believe that while we make covenants with other people, God is also still making covenants with humankind. Remember, El Shaddai's covenant with Abraham was given not only to that man, but to his offspring after him. And we, by virtue of our adoption through faith in Christ, are the spiritual offspring of Abraham. God is our protector, our rock and redeemer, our guide, our gracious parent and friend. And God loves us more than we deserve, and then some. It's interesting. The lectionary actually skips the portion of Scripture which tells of what God asks in return. Now, God doesn't demand, he only asks. And just thinking about that requirement makes me squeamish. You see, God asks that all males embody the faith through circumcision. Yes, it's good to remember our bond with our Creator. We need a visible sign. And so, followers of Christ embody our faith through baptism. The sacrament with the water is the sign and seal of the covenant that God has already made with each one of us. That's fine, well and good. But so what? Abraham fathered Isaac when he was 99 years old. He and Sarah parented the child that God had promised. Even in their very, very, very advanced ages. You see, God was doing a new thing through their faith, raising up a new nation. And they expressed their commitment to God by raising the boy. Trinity United Presbyterian Church was born 40 years ago. In righteousness and deep faith, the saints that have gone before began raising this church, this body of Christ. And we now continue in service to God. So, for the last 11 months, this congregation has rested. Yeah, we've rested. And in many ways, we've still gathered and served as church together, but not as any of us did in the past. Friends, could the last 11 months have been God giving us a rest to prepare for new things, new ways to serve, to be in relationship with one another and with the world around us in the times ahead? I don't believe God created this church to serve only for 30 or 40 years. I don't believe God created this church for us to serve only when we are young and new. The name God gave this church 40 years ago is still new to the creator of all life, to El Shaddai. Yeah, we are much older now than when this congregation came into being. But it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter that we may think like Abraham and Sarai, that we believe that God is capricious or dreaming. God included us in the covenant first made with 99-year young Abraham. And out of love for God's children, like that man, we will be nurtured and strengthened so we can offer fruitful service to El Shaddai. Now, God only knows what that service will be. But if we listen, as did Abraham and the founders of this congregation, God will tell us. Of that I am sure. Thanks be for God's blessed covenant and love for us. Amen.
Will you please rise as you are able to share in these words that affirm our covenantal faith? We believe in God, whose love is ever constant and steadfast, even when we are not. We believe in Jesus Christ, who walked among us, who was betrayed and forgave, and who died so that we might live. We believe in the Holy Spirit, ever present with us to comfort as well as urge us forward in the name of Christ. We believe in the church as the place where we are loved as we are and still gently encouraged to grow. We believe we are called to be the church, to love people more than they deserve, because Christ so loved us. We believe in the miracle of life and in the life everlasting. Amen.
There are probably about 100 million details that have to be prepared when structuring worship and coming back together, and I dropped the ball. I forgot to put in that we need to pray together. So let us join together in prayer, and we will say the Lord's Prayer too. Let us pray. O Creator God, in compassion and love, you created all life. Every animal of the field and bird of the air, you brought them to us so that we might give them names and care for them. And together with them, we plowed the good earth for crops and traveled, like Abraham and Sarah, across wide spaces to new lands in which to make our homes. You also made the gentle rain and breezes that fill the trees of the gardens that we care for and the lakes and waterways that teem with fishes for our food and water to drink. For this and so much more, we thank you and pray that we will find the strength to always keep the covenant that you first made with us through Abraham. Heavenly God, in love, you sent your Son into the world so that he could teach us compassion for brothers and sisters, even many whom we will never know. So we ask that you hear us now as we lift them to you for care in their times of need. We pray for all who are hungry, whether hungry for power and glory or hungry for a simple meal. Show the mighty that you alone can satisfy their deepest need and feed the poor from the abundance of your good creation. We pray for the church in times of trial. Whether tested by tempestuous change or tempted by safety of the status quo. Give us peace when anger and fear threaten to divide us and challenge us, as did Jesus when we are too comfortable in this world. We pray for unity among the nations, especially now, as countries learn how to control the virus that has controlled peoples the world over. And we pray for leaders in high places, whether determined to help those who suffer or who distance themselves from the cries of the powerless. Open their eyes to see your saving power at work, and open their ears to hear your prophets' calls for righteousness. We pray, too, for those who are sick. We pray especially for Dave Frick as he prepares for
a special heart procedure, and for Clara Mae Hansen, who continues to struggle with the illness that has placed her in the hospital. We pray for the lonely. We pray for those who grieve and all who suffer, whatever the reason. Let your steadfast love surround them always, and let us reach out to them in the name of your compassionate Son, who taught us to pray to you, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
In Romans 12, 1-2b, we hear, Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Eugene Peterson's The Message interprets Paul in more current language. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. You are invited to make your offering, your sacrifice to God, by supporting the work of this congregation. You may continue to mail your gifts in or drop them in the little white church in the narthex. Let us bless them now. Almighty God, we thank you for the covenant you made with Abraham and Sarah, which through Jesus' faith continues to us. Accept these offerings with the dedication of our lives, that we may be a sign of your abiding love in this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
My friends, it's good to see your faces. El Shaddai changed his name. And he changed the names of Abram and Sarai when they were very, very, very old. And at the same time, he blessed them with a covenant. He told them there would be a new baby, that they were to serve God by raising that child, and through that child, through them, many nations, many peoples, many kings would be born and rise up. Through those kings, Jesus Christ was born. And through his faith, we have been baptized into spiritual relationship as children of God. Therefore, the covenant that was made with Abraham and Sarah is made with us. Doesn't matter if we are young or very, very, very old. God is asking us to remember that we are God's children, loved more than we can deserve. And God hopes that in thanksgiving and praise, we will go out into the world in service. But you go, when you go, with the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that draws us together in the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.